Second Peter is where we're going to read tonight. Second Peter, chapter 3. Thought I had it marked, but apparently I did not. Second Peter, chapter 3, and verse 1. People are asking questions now in these times that we're living in right now. Questions like, are we living in the last days? Are these the last days? And things like, do you believe that the Lord could come at any time, at any moment? And those are questions that I think that need to be answered. We need to look at God's word. And from God's word, we can determine that we are living in the last days. Amen. So let's read a few verses here. Second Peter, chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We'll stop reading right there. Do I believe that the Lord is coming soon? Absolutely. Do I believe we're living in the last days? Oh, yes. I think that we all recognize at the times that we're in are serious, serious times. But those questions have been asked for 2,000 years concerning the coming of the Lord. Even the disciples asked the Lord himself, Lord, what about your coming? Where is the promise of your coming? Matthew 24 and verse 3. Tell us then what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The disciples who were right there with Jesus were curious. Even before he ascended and left them, they were asking him about, when is this all going to come to an end? The reason they did was because really the scripture, the Old Testament scriptures that are so many, over 1,000 scriptures, literally over 1,000 scriptures in God's word that speak to the coming of the Lord. And for every verse that spoke about his first coming, there are 8 verses that speak about his second coming. And of course, we know that he fulfilled that first promise, that first prophecy when he came in Bethlehem as a little babe in a manger. He fulfilled that prophecy and that promise that I'm going to come. And he did come. And if there are 8 times as many verses in the scripture that relate to the second coming of the Lord, we need to take full attention, pay attention to this. It is not, even in light of all the things that are going on in our world right now, it is not talked about as much as it was when I was just a kid. When I was a young boy, it was a topic of discussion. There were lots of sermons preached about the coming of the Lord. A lot was said about Jesus coming soon. I've told you many times, I had an old-time pastor with a third-grade education, but he was an anointed man of God. But he had really 3 major themes. He preached on holiness, holy living. He preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he preached on the soon coming of the Lord. And really, it hardly mattered what text he took. He'd get around to one of those topics at least. No matter where, if he was preaching out of Genesis or the Psalms or wherever, somewhere, he would get around because that was his heart. And that was important to declare the message of the Holy Ghost, the message of holy living, and the message of the coming of the Lord. And I spoke for a little while in his funeral service when he passed away, and I told the church group that day, I said, this brother preached on holiness, on the Holy Ghost, and on the coming of the Lord. 3 very important messages that need to be declared. And so it was pretty much, the seeds were sown in my mind, in my heart, about these important topics, and certainly about the coming of the Lord. And I remember services when the coming of the Lord was preached that it was so real you could almost sense it, feel it, physically feel it. It was so real that you thought, it's going to happen today. It's going to happen this very day. Even Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, when he taught those disciples how to pray, a part of that Lord's Prayer was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He taught them how to pray, and even to pray for the Lord's coming to be soon. So if you're a Bible reader at all, if you spend any time at all reading the Bible, you can't ignore the fact that the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's this repeated theme of the coming of the Lord. I mentioned already that there's over 1,080 verses that speak about the coming of the Lord, Old and New Testament. And more than 50 verses in the scripture, we are commanded to be ready, or to be ready, get ready for the coming of the Lord. And so we are living in the last days. We should be living in such a way that we are anticipating the coming of the Lord. Now, Peter, in this text that we read to you from 2 Peter chapter 3, he challenges us to look to the past, to look to the present, and to look to the future. And so that's what we should do as it relates to the coming of the Lord. We are to be ready, to live ready, and to live with an expectancy that at any time the Lord could come. Amen. And we need to live our life with that expectancy. I know in the early 70s, there was a guy by the name of Hal Lindsey that wrote a book and then has written many, many books related to that. But he wrote the book that was really a bestseller, famous book called The Late Great Planet Earth. It stirred up a lot of people to thinking about the closing of this age and the soon coming of the Lord. I don't believe he gave any predicted dates as to when the Lord was going to come, but he just believed it was imminent. He believed it could happen at any point, at any time, and that was the message of that book. And I know there have been some that have been kind of out there a little bit, a little extreme in some of their ideas, like the fellow that wrote the book about 88 Reasons Why that Jesus is Coming in 1988. Remember that one? I'm telling you what, that stirred a lot of people up. A lot of people. And it got a lot of notoriety. But when 1988 came and went, then he wrote another book and said, well, I messed up here on this couple of areas here. It's going to be not 88, but it's going to be 89. And he did a couple of those corrections and pretty much lost his credibility. But all in all, there was a stirring among Christian people about the reality of the coming of the Lord, even from that book. And then remember Y2K? Remember that? That's been quite a while ago. I mean, people were so shook up at Y2K when it was getting ready to be 2000. People thought the Lord was going to come and the world was going to come to an end, and that all the microchips were going to burn up, and all the grid and all of our electrical grid was all going to go down, and all the predictions of all that was going to happen. And people were saying, surely this is the end. This is going to be the end. Well, none of those things came to pass. Does that mean we need to stop thinking about the coming of the Lord? Well, according to Peter, not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm writing this to you, verse 1, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It just means that he was saying, when he said, I'm going to stir you up, he was saying, I want to awaken you. I want to wake you up and stir up your pure minds. So he was talking to some sincere, good people, people of God. His writings were to sincere believers like you and me. It's literally what it means. I stir up your pure minds. The word means sincere. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So what he was just saying, I want to awaken you, stir you, wake you up, arouse you to the reality of the fact that the Lord is going to come real soon. I want to stir up your pure minds. A lot of good people don't really think much about the coming of the Lord. We kind of like our life the way it is. The coming of the Lord might be an interruption to the way that we're living our lives right now. But he said, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it. I want to stir up your thinking. I want to awaken you so you'll think about it, and it'll be in your minds. Amen. Glory to God. That was the early church. The early church, they talked much about the coming of the Lord. Amen. They talked about it, and it was a part of their conversation. It was a part of their thoughts. And he says in verse 2, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken. He was saying, I want you to be thinking about this. I want this to be in your mind. Don't push it out of your mind as if it's something that's a dreaded event. But I want you to be mindful of it. I want you to be thinking about it, meditating upon the reality of the coming of the Lord. Amen. I want you to be stirred up so you'll think about it. Be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles. So he was saying, I want you to be thinking about this. I want this to be in your meditation and your thought life. And I want you to look back. Look back to the prophets and to the apostles. Look at the word of God and look at all these hundreds and hundreds of verses, and go through Ezekiel and Daniel, and go through many of these other prophets, such as the minor prophets, many of them that spoke about the coming of the Lord, and read the apostles, read the verses in the New Testament that relate to the promises of the soon coming of the Lord from Jesus, from the apostle Paul, and others of the writers. He said, I want it to be in your mind. I want it to be in your thinking. in your meditation, I want to stir you up so that you will think about the coming of the Lord. Amen. And one of the ways that you do that is you look back. You look back to the promises of God, to the prophecies, to the word of the Lord. You look back to what those prophets said. Amen. Look back. And then he said, look around you. Look around you. In verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, those that will make fun of and make light of. A scoffer is someone who makes light of holy things, makes fun of holy things. That's a scoffer. And so in the last days, it'll be characterized by people that are making fun of the Bible, making fun of Christians, making fun of the church, and certainly any idea that this could all wrap up real soon. Amen. That's right. When Jesus comes, it's not going to be an act of Congress. It's not going to be the news media. It's not going to be any man-made thing that is going to bring that to pass. Jesus is going to come at an hour when people are not thinking about him. And the hour when you think not. So as the church, we don't want to fall into the same trap of the world that pushes this out of their mind. They don't want to think about the coming of the Lord, of the end of this age. We need to think about it. And we need to read about it. And we need to spend some time looking back. And then we need to look at what's going on around us. Scoffers, those that are making fun of these things, they do it. They are motivated by their fleshly desires. That's what he says. Walking after their own lust. Those that reject the promise of the coming of the Lord, they reject what the Bible says about the days that we're living in right now. They are fleshly. They are carnal. They are living after their own desires, and they are not paying attention to what's going on in our world right now. Amen? Amen. Can you imagine people who would look at a worldwide pandemic and say, there's no significance to that. That's no big deal. That's just what's happening. It's just a natural occurrence. Oh, no. We look at these events in our world today and we recognize that they are waking up a lot of people to their need for God. Amen. A lot of people are calling upon the Lord at this time that had not and probably would not have if it wasn't for what is happening around us. So we need to look back to God's word, to the prophets, to the apostles, and we need to look around us and take note of those that are making a mockery of the things of God and making a mockery of the promise of the soon coming of the Lord. They're doing it because they are fleshly motivated. And they're saying, it says in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's pretty much the mindset. That's how this world, secular world, thinks. Everything is going to keep going like it has been going. The only danger that they see is the possibility of some environmental catastrophe that might happen, but they're not at all willing to look at God's promise and God's word and recognize that Jesus is coming, or at least not admit it. It says in verse 5 that they are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. Amen. And we don't want to be like the world that has fallen to sleep and we're paying no attention to the times. We're paying no attention to what's going on in our world around us. We need to, as Peter says, get stirred up. Get awakened to the reality that the Lord is coming. It's easy to go to sleep spiritually and not even recognize where we are as far as God's plan and God's calendar is concerned. Ephesians 5 and 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's saying, wake up. If you'll wake up, then the Lord will give you light, which generally just means understanding and to be able to perceive the times that we're living in right now, which are the last days. Amen. The last of the last days. People go to sleep spiritually that need to wake up and realize where we are as far as God's timing is concerned. We need to look to the Lord and look back, look to His Word, look to the promises of God's Word, and understand you can depend on the Word of the Lord. You can depend on it. 2 Peter 1 and 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do dwell that we take heed. You do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Know this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is dependable. The Word of God is going to stand. One of these days, you and I are going to be judged on the basis of what God's Word says. We need to pay attention to it. We need to wake up to the reality of the hour that we're living in right now. Amen? So we need to look back to God's Word, to the promises of God. We need to look around and see what's happening around us. There are those that are scoffers and deniers of the soon coming of the Lord. They would rather live after the flesh than live after the things of the Spirit. But you and I, as believers, we want to take hold of the promises of God and know they are dependable. You can trust God's Word. Amen. It says, for this they are willingly ignorant. You know what that means? It means they know the truth, but they choose to deny it. They know what's right, but they choose to deny it. That's pretty much the society, the world that we live in right now. Many that have been exposed to God, the Word of God, but they are choosing to go another direction, to disobey the voice of the Lord. They are willingly ignorant. They're just shutting their eyes to the light of truth. They're shutting their eyes to all the things that are going on in our world around us. So we need to look back to God's Word. We need to look around and see how the world is responding to all of these things. And then we need to look ahead. Amen. Get your eyes upon the Lord. Get your eyes upon the sky. Amen. Because He's coming, and He's coming soon. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them, we are in that category, to all them that love His appearing. Amen. Amen. Just think about the things that you love. You love your family, you love your house, you love your possessions. There's a lot of things that you may love, but we need to love His appearing. We need to set our affection on the reality that Jesus could come today, or maybe it'll be tomorrow, but we know that it's very soon, and He wants us to be thinking and meditating on the reality of the soon coming of the Lord. Amen. Love His appearing. Unto all them also that love His appearing. That's you and me. That's for all of those that would follow the apostle and would put our affection on the coming of the Lord. Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope. Our eyes fixed upon the blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to get our eyes off of the world, off the things of the world. It's all fleeting. It's all passing away. It's not valuable. It's not important. And according to Peter, it's all going to burn up. All the elements are going to be consumed with the fervent heat. It's not valuable. It's not important. What is important? Looking to Jesus. Amen. Getting your eyes fixed upon him, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to look to the future. Amen. Look to the future and know that we're going to serve God until he comes. We're going to be busy until he comes. We're going to look to the future. That's what he says here. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That verse just means God is sovereign and he is not restricted by time. We are, but he's not. And so when he comes, he's going to come in perfect. It's going to be perfectly on time, in the fullness of time. Just like Jesus came in Bethlehem, so will it be when Jesus comes in the clouds. Hallelujah. It's going to be the same. And we need to get our eyes fixed upon him. He's sovereign. He's not restricted in any way by time. We think, Lord, and just like those that day, they were saying, well, where is the promise of his coming? When is he going to come? He hasn't come. And the flood came, and all of those perished in the flood. And then on the other side of the flood, and all those things happened. And they talked about all of those events and said, he hasn't come. We can't see that he's going to come. But God is not regulated by time or restricted by time. Hallelujah. So whenever it's time, he is going to step out and he is going to blow the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together. That's the next event in God's calendar. Amen. Glory to God. The soon coming of the Lord. We praise God for that. Then it says he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's not slack. What is he? Well, he's long-suffering. Amen. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. And he's not willing that any perish. He wants all to be saved and all to have an encounter with Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's not slack concerning his promises. So his delays are not something that are to discourage us, but they're to remind us of the fact that God is merciful and long-suffering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. How many of you have been saved for the last, let's say, 50 years? That's about where I fit in. What if the Lord had come 60 years ago? You know why he didn't? He was long-suffering and merciful toward you and toward me. And some of you, you have been saved maybe in the last 20 years or 10 years or whatever amount of time. God is just demonstrating his love and his long-suffering toward mankind. That's what it says. Amen. Praise God. He's not slack concerning his promise, but as men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Now we are to pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be our prayer and our desire. But we know that God is going to come, the Lord is going to come in his own good time. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's that coming going to look like? Verse 10. The day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. A thief in the night comes unexpectedly, suddenly, and you're unaware of it happening. That's how a thief comes in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Amen. He is going to come as a thief, and it's going to be quick. It is going to be sudden. It's going to be unexpected. That's why we need to be thinking and meditating on the soon coming of the Lord, because it could be much sooner than you could ever imagine. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. That the coming of the Lord should motivate us to live a holy life. Amen. Amen. Because we know the Lord is coming, and we know He can come at any moment. That should motivate us to clean up our life, to purge our life from all ungodliness, all wickedness, and to follow the Lord. It ought to motivate us to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, to set aside every weight, every sin, everything that could hinder us, and to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. This is 1 John 3 and 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Amen. Those that have this hope, those that are thinking about it, meditating, those that are stirring up their hearts, their minds, their thinking about the coming of the Lord, it's going to motivate you to let go of the world and to draw closer to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the call of God. Are we living in the last days? How could we not be living in the last days? How could we not be? We are living in the last days. So it needs to be in our thoughts. It needs to be in our prayers, our meditations. It needs to be motivating us to live a holy life. It needs to be motivating us to reach our friends and our loved ones for Jesus in these last days. Busy in the work of the kingdom in these last days, because we surely are living the last moments of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And that hope should motivate us. That hope should stir us to the reality that Jesus is coming really soon. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that He is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Could we just stand and give thanks and praise to the Lord tonight, because we have been redeemed. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been forgiven. And we have a hope. It's not of this world or of this life, but we have a hope that Jesus is coming so soon. Oh, Lord, help us to live in such a way as to be ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stir us up, Lord. Stir up our minds. Stir up our thinking. Help us, Lord, to make this a part of our thoughts, our meditation. Lord, the reality of Your soon return. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we believe He's coming, it's going to motivate us to do a lot of things. We're going to let go of the things of this world. And we're going to see the work of the kingdom as such an important thing. Amen. Hallelujah.